Hello, everybody, and welcome in to eBible Fellowship's continuing Bible studies into the book of 1 Samuel, heard at this very same time, Monday through Friday. And we thank you for being with us wherever you are and however you're listening to us, either through eBible Fellowship's webcast audio or through Skype or perhaps through Pal Talk or even over the phone. And we pray that the Lord's blessings will be with us over the next 30 minutes or so as we now prepare to open our Bibles and introduce Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 56. And as a result of studying 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3, where the statement was made before the lamp went out in the tabernacle, we followed the lamp in the Bible, and it led us to Matthew chapter 25 and the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, in the last study, we had gone over the first five verses, and we're not doing this exhaustively, but I did want to just slow it down a little bit in order to make sure that we're being careful and also understanding this parable, because at this time, I think this parable has been referred to and misunderstood due to the events of May 21. Well, verse 5 of Matthew 25 says, "While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." And we saw in our last study from Isaiah 29 and also Matthew 13 that God likens those who live during the church age as being asleep. While men slept, it says in the parable of the wheat and the tares, an enemy sowed tares amongst the wheat, and that was during the church age. Isaiah 29 speaks of the vision of all is sealed up. Now, let me read that again, because that type of language is not so familiar to us, and it's always good to read something again and again. It says in Isaiah 29, verse 10, "For Jehovah has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed." And again, this deep sleep is referring to the church age. During the church age, the link is made to the words of the vision of all, the Bible, the book is sealed. And that's because God said to Daniel, "Seal up the word till the time of the end." And the implication was in Daniel 12 that at the time of the end, the seals will be taken off the book, the Bible, and that it even says knowledge will increase. And we have been experiencing that. Over the last several years, we have learned many new teachings from the Bible, things that have not previously been known, and we see them very clearly. The end of the church age, Christ slain before the foundation of the world in actual fact and paying for the sins of his people, rather than in principle, as we had previously thought, and also the enormous truth that God opened up concerns judgment of annihilation, of destroying the sinner rather than casting him into hell forevermore. That's just a few things that we learn during the Great Tribulation, not to mention the date of judgment, May 21, 2011. Was a result of God opening up the scriptures and showing us additional information. Of course, we did not learn that perfectly. We had some need of correction, and we've been receiving correction since that date has passed. And now we're learning even more, because that's the nature of the Bible and the nature of the day we're in, that that the book is still unsealed. That statement is actually made in Revelation in the context of our day. Well, let's go back to Matthew 25. And once again, I'll read verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried. Now, the bridegroom is Christ. I made reference to this without actually going there. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just read the verse. John chapter 3 and verse 28 and 29, where the Lord is moving John the Baptist. And this is what he said, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." Now, he is referring to Jesus, the Messiah, and notice he makes reference to the bridegroom's voice, and we're living in a time when the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride is heard no more at all in thee. According to Revelation 18, God has removed the gospel blessing from the world, and as a result, when people hear the gospel, which has been true in the church for decades now, but now it's true in the world, when people hear the gospel, there is no Holy Spirit to bless it to their ears so that they might hear spiritually. This means people can hear physically. They can hear in the church. They can hear over the radio. They could hear through a friend. And yet it takes the Holy Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It takes the action of God to open up an individual's ears. And yet God is determined not to do that any longer, since we've entered into the day of judgment, just as he determined that upon the churches when judgment began at the house of God. Now he is determined upon the world, as judgment has expanded to the entire earth. Well, it also says there in verse 5, while the bridegroom, who is Christ, tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And this is one reason that that some people think it's referring to today, because, well, we were expecting Jesus to come on May 21. He did not. So he did not come in the way we thought. Actually, he did come in judgment upon the whole earth, but he did not come to take his people out of the world, and we're still here. And so people think, well, Christ tarried, and that applies to what we're reading here in Matthew 25. And it is true that God does view these days of judgment as though Christ is tarrying, and we know that from reading Hebrews 10 and also Habakkuk chapter 2. However, Christ has also been viewed as tarrying throughout the whole New Testament era. It's always been as though he has not yet come. There has been expectation of his coming, and he has not come. So the believers, typified by the 10 virgins, have been looking for the return of Christ for centuries, and he has tarried up until the point of his coming in a spiritual way on Judgment Day. And so this verse is not referring to May 21. It's referring to the whole church age itself, the whole 1955 years, as the people of God waited on the Lord, waited for his return. And during that time, it spiritually, it was as though all slumbered and slept, the wise, true believers, and the foolish unbelievers or unsaved individuals within the congregations, because the Bible was sealed. And that's how God is using this idea of slumbering and sleeping. Then in verse 6, and at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Now, you see, what interrupts the slumbering and sleeping is a cry, a proclamation, a declaration. A loud cry is made that wakes all the virgins, and all of them are commanded to go out to meet him. And this word midnight, we have to be a little careful with. It is not the same word that is used in a few other places in the New Testament. Like, for instance, in Acts 16, it's a related word. But this word here in Matthew 25:6 is a compound word. And it's a word that means midst of night, in the middle, in some portion of the night. And so it is not necessarily referring to Judgment Day, midnight, pointing to May 21, but it is something that took place in the midst of night. And that would apply to the Great Tribulation. And it was during the Great Tribulation that God opened up his word to reveal timeline information concerning the coming of Christ. And a great cry went out to the whole world, the whole earth. This really cannot be overstated. There has never been in the history of the world a time period in which a message like May 21, Judgment Day, went forth to the degree it did just a little while ago. We could go back into the history of all the world, and we would never find anything comparable. It is unprecedented. There is nothing similar, and there has never been a case in which the message of Judgment Day was put in the forefront of the eyes of mankind. They could not escape it. And this came right from the Bible, and mankind is expert. They specialize in avoiding, in ignoring, in the message of the Bible. They are very, very good at it, and yet God arranged things so that there was a trumpet blast, a warning sound that was broadcast in all the earth. And, E-Bible was privileged, and I'm still very thankful to the Lord that we were able to play such a part in the bringing of this message to the world. And we were involved in the advertising of May 21, 2011. And so I'm very familiar with the numbers of billboards and the numbers of nations that this message was put into. And also, I tried to keep up on the Project Jonah track trips. And eBible itself also was going on many track trips. We were placing the message in newspapers. It was attempts were made, and I think successfully in a few places, to have commercials, television commercials made. There were radio commercials. Airtime was bought on station after station after station, not to mention the worldwide network of family radio, radio stations, and satellite broadcasting, and all the other things. That there are so many things that I really couldn't even begin to number them. Hundreds of billboards in countries like Russia and Poland, and billboards in little isolated island nations, and whole front page newspaper articles in nations like Greenland and Iceland, radio interviews in many different nations in Ireland and also Iceland, and the news media in nation after nation after nation, picking up the message and running with the story eventually. And God had told us, and we had known in advance. We were confidently telling people, everyone's going to hear. The whole world will hear this message. Well, you know, you can confidently say something like that and be quite a bit off if God is not with you. There is no possibility that a ministry like Family Radio, which it's considerable, but it's nothing to reach a whole world, and individual believers scattered here and there, there is just no possibility they could have done this without the aid and help and strength and power of God opening doors and making the way. And there is, I don't have a single doubt that the hand of God was in all that. And God's hand was not in it just so the world would know there's a Bible. The world has already known there's a Bible. God's hand was in it because it has always been his plan to share with all the world what he was about to do. As we read in Matthew 24 and verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Now, the word witness is translated testimony against in the parallel passage in Mark 13. For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And some people, they say, well, you see, that it wasn't May 21 because the end didn't come. Well, you're not understanding what God did. You're failing to realize that Judgment Day is the end. And Judgment Day came on May 21. Remember, we had previously thought Judgment Day will be an extended period of 5 months, but that 5 months would be the end. Well, now we've made correction and we realize we don't know exactly at this point how long it will be. Maybe it'll be 6 years. Maybe it'll be 23 years. But however long Judgment Day is, it is the end. It is viewed by God as a single day. And so the gospel of the kingdom was preached into all the world like never before and like it never will be again. Do you think about it, do you think that there will ever be another occasion, another opportunity in which all God's people will band together with their resources, their funds, their time, give of themselves to a degree that we just witnessed and many of us experienced. Will there ever be another occasion like that? No. No. If you've been paying any attention, it's hard to find ten individuals who agree on the same thing anymore. And it will never be the case that Family Radio will be in the position of strength as God continued opening door after door for 50 years leading up to May 21. And God made sure that that we had the freedom to broadcast these things into all the world. That may even change, as there's no need now to broadcast the gospel, to evangelize individuals to become saved. So perhaps that freedom will not always be there. It's not necessary as before. But this is the cry that we read of in Matthew 25, verse 6. At midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." This cry was made during the Great Tribulation for a period of time leading up to the coming of Christ. And even in this parable, when the cry is made, notice it says, "Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and then they have discussion amongst themselves as to the oil. And you'll notice that the bridegroom did not come immediately when the cry was made. It was not as though we see him in the sky. He's coming down right now, and so this is it. No, there was advanced information, forewarning, that these 10 virgins received concerning the coming of the bridegroom. They knew before he came that he was coming. The call was, go out to meet him. And go out from where? Go out from where? From the church? Yes, God commanded his people to come out of her. He commanded to depart out of the midst, to flee to the mountains. But not everyone was in the church, and more people were hearing the gospel, also more people, therefore, were typified by these virgins, and many of them weren't in the church at all. No, they were coming out of Babylon, as it says in Revelation chapter 18, and in verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." The word "go ye out" is the same word as "come out." It's the same Greek word. It could be stated in Matthew 25:6, "Come out to meet him," just as it said, "Come out of her, my people." And so when we go out to meet him, it is to leave the world behind, to leave Babylon, to leave the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of darkness behind us. And so all are commanded. Everyone was commanded. It wasn't just Family Radio listeners. The gospel call went out far and wide to all people that everyone should be ready, for Christ was coming. Everyone needed to be prepared to meet their God. Go out to him, and of course, crying for mercy and turning from sin, all that is implied in that command to come out to meet him. And then it says in verse 7, "Then all those virgins arose and trim their lamps." Now notice, again, we had mentioned the similarities, 10 virgins, all carrying lamps, all 10 slumbered and slept, and you could not tell them apart. you couldn't distinguish between them. The only difference we know of, because we read it and God revealed it to us, is that some had oil and some did not. It was the only difference, and yet so far you wouldn't be able to tell who possessed the oil and who didn't. But now there is coming a situation has developed in as a result of the command to go out to meet him. Then this also would relate to the end of the church age and coming out of the church. You needed to come out of the church in order to meet Christ. You had better not have stayed in the church, or else you would have experienced judgment. And so now, due to the command to meet him and all the ramifications, the things involved with this, we're beginning to see a difference between the virgins. And as they trim their lamps, the word trimmed is the same word as adorned. In Revelation 21:2, the bride of Christ was adorned. Let me read that. And it just means an outward, let me read it. Revelation 21:2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The word is translated as adorned and also garnished later on in Revelation 21. And so it is a beautification of the bride. It is an outward attraction. The bride is adorned. She's garnished with precious jewels. And it's all referring spiritually to the body of believers. But the fact is that this is something outwardly visible. And when they adorn or trim their lamps, now this is something that can be seen by you and me and anyone else. We can tell now that these virgins have oil because their lamps are lit, and these other virgins lack oil because they cannot light their lamp. And so these virgins have light, and these others are in the dark. And this is very important when we remember that the lamp refers to the Bible, the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. It refers to God himself, who is the Word. And now we know just how much intricately involved the Word of God is with the message of Christ's return. How was it known regarding Judgment Day on May 21? How was that understood? It was known from the Bible, the Word of God, the lamp. And God made many statements. A wise man's heart discerneth time and judgment. In Amos 3, verse 7, the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And Daniel 12, the wise will understand, but none of the wicked will understand. And many similar statements that indicated a difference, a distinction when it comes to knowledge concerning the Bible, concerning the coming of Christ. Some would understand, others would not. So previously, professed Christians, perhaps you couldn't tell them apart, but now there was all sorts of differences becoming evident. Many, first of all, were staying in the church, refusing to believe, refusing to even acknowledge the possibility that God could have given up his church. completely misunderstanding verses such as the gates of hell will not prevail against her, not realizing that's referring to the eternal church, prized only of the elect. And so they stood fast in the churches, in the congregations. And why? Because they could not see it. They heard these things. Perhaps they even went to the Bible. And perhaps they even checked things out a little bit. But, you know, it's awful hard to read the Bible in the dark. If you ever tried that, turn out all your lights and open up your Bible. And if you don't have outstanding eyes, you definitely won't be able to read it. And even if you do, it will not be easy. And this is the nature of the foolish virgins without the oil, without the Holy Spirit to illuminate their understanding. They were in the dark when the cry was made to go out to meet him. Well, we'll stop here for tonight and pick this parable up once again tomorrow night at the same time. Please join us then.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Chris McCann with his continuing studies into the book of 1 Samuel. These studies are heard every Monday through Friday night at this very same time over Pal Talk, over Skype, over eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over the phone. Lord willing, we'll have another Bible study for you tomorrow night into the book of 1 Samuel. And until then, may the Lord's perfect will be done. Good night.